Holistic Glam Podcast, episode 16. So hi, and welcome back to the Holistic Glam Podcast. If you're new here, I'm Glenn, I'm the host. I also am the interviewer, and you will also have podcast episodes where it's just me talking and I'm not interviewing anybody. So, and if you're not new, welcome back. It's nice to have you again. So in this episode, we're going to again talk about Ayurvedic medicine. Now, the Ayurvedic medicine, the Ayurvedic sciences, is so broad that you cannot just interview one person and know everything. I like to explain it as it is broad but so simplistic that you, when you start using it in your life, it's simplistic. But the viewpoint, the way that Ayurvedic medicine looks at things, it's, you want to hear from more than one person. Because of the Vedic texts, because there's not just one Vedic text, there's surgery, there's yoga, there's operation, there's all this stuff, and you want to look at those. So we're going to interview more people as we go about Ayurvedic medicine, and we're going to look at the immune system, and we're going to look at how Ayurvedic looks at many different other aspects. And yeah, we're just going to keep exploring it. It's a subject that is very wonderful and I am very interested in, even though I've been trained and have learned a little bit myself about it. And I do use it and try to use it in my life. We're just going to explore it. Because I'm interested, I know you guys will be interested, because it's a healing system that has been around for a very, very long time. It's like one of the oldest, so we got a lot there. And I'm sorry about my nose and stuff. I've been having some allergies, so sorry if you hear a little mucus. I need to drink some of my Ayurvedic tea to help with that. But so let's get into who I'm going to be interviewing today. It's Sophie. She teaches group classes, private sessions, and counseling. She uses the ancient knowledge of yoga and, yeah, the ancient knowledge of yoga and Ayurvedic, taught in India. This is taught in India. Science has proven that yoga and Ayurveda improves the body and mind, the health of the body and mind. Whatever is more, if you wish it. So she really takes this, the Ayurvedic perspective and yoga, and brings it together for the health of the body and mind, like she says in her bio, you know, and even on her Facebook page she says that. So it's really about bringing the body and mind into balance with yoga. And I like how we talk about this. We go into yoga. We go into the doshas and what yoga good doshas are for each body type or personality. And I really love that. So, she is a yoga teacher. She's also an Ayurvedic practitioner in that way as well. So, yeah. So, let's get into this interview with Sophie, because it's wonderful. So, I want to welcome Sophie to the Holistic Glam Podcast, and we are going to talk about yoga and Ayurvedic medicine and how all that goes together. She has a wonderful Facebook page, and what she does is wonderful. I don't know how she does what she does and mixes the two together. But before we start, do you have anything you want to say to the listeners?
First, thank you for having me with you today. And so I hope that any question you like to ask me today will inspire the people who are listening to us today, as yoga and Ayurveda have so much to offer.
Before we start, my question is, do you think yoga and Ayurvedic medicine are beautiful when they're combined together?
Definitely. I really believe that practicing only Ayurveda or practicing only yoga, you are missing the holistic approach of everything. We have to remember that yoga and Ayurveda are coming from India, and at the root, they share the same text, the same sage. And so at some point, One side evolved more into the spiritual aspect, that is yoga, and so Ayurveda moved more into the holistic aspect of health. So when you understand Ayurveda and you practice Ayurveda, at some point you want to practice yoga. And if you practice yoga without the awareness of your own body, the way your mind is functioning, then you are missing also one part to enhance and have the full understanding of yoga. So for me, definitely, the route to choose would be both.
So what makes you passionate about Ayurvedic medicine and just the, like you said, the center of the reason why yoga and Ayurveda was conceived?
Okay, so first, what makes me passionate about Ayurveda is I learn more about myself. I learn what I am made of, how I react with this type of food, with this type of weather, with this type of emotion, because I know about myself, my constitution. And when I say about my constitution, it's on the physical level, emotional level, and mental level. So it gives me guidance of how I can have my lifestyle. And that is really what creates something special and passionate about Ayurveda. And we have to also understand that Ayurveda is not necessarily only medicine, but it's a lifestyle. So there is, if when you start to understand Ayurveda, it might feel a little complicated because, well, so I know my constitution, but I don't know what type of herbs are good for me and how I can treat whatever condition I have. And this is medicine, and medicine, Ayurvedic medicine is very important. But before the medicine, before we have to go and meet an Ayurvedic doctor, we can do and adjust our lifestyle. And that's the second branch of Ayurveda, is the lifestyle, is that what do I eat? How do I exercise? How is the weather? How I can adjust my own way of living to reduce symptoms such as insomnia or high blood pressure, or there is the lifestyle, is the way we can really manage our health before we have to go and see a doctor. So Ayurveda offer both. And if you go to see an Ayurvedic doctor, it will tell you first, how are you eating? How is your sleep, right? And it's going to ask you all those questions that make you more mindful of your life. So that's the second point that makes me so passionate about Ayurveda. First, I know myself. And second, I am mindful of what I am doing every single day. It doesn't mean that I don't make mistakes or I don't make bad choices, but I made them with mindfulness. when I'm tired and I need to go and to eat some vegetables, but on that day, because I'm so low, I'm going to grab some chocolate. I do it with mindfulness, at least. Even if the next day, I was eating that excess of chocolate because I was really sad and blah, blah, blah. But that's it, and that's the Ayurveda help us to be even more mindful of what we are living every single day. That's why I like so much Ayurveda.
and that's true. I think with both aspects of Ayurvedic, the tree of Ayurvedic medicine, if you want to say, it does make you mindful. And I think, like with yoga, it does make you mindful of not just your body but your mind as well, because there's many different poses. When I first started, I'm like, I'm too hefty for this, I can't do this, and I stopped because I couldn't do it. And then I realized, listening to the yoga teacher on YouTube, because I liked her, she was really nice, she goes, not everybody can do this. Give yourself time. And when she was like, hey, I can't do it on this side because I have an injury, and it's about what makes you feel comfortable, not squeezing into these poses you can't do. And do you think we need that in yoga? We need our teachers to be more transparent?
I think it's very fundamental in the practice of yoga to understand that it's not something that we are doing. It's a state of being. So it means that when you practice, and especially when I teach yoga, I always say, okay, so we're going to do this pose, let's the triangle pose. And I see that some students try to squeeze their body in the pose, but it's not that. It's the pose has to adapt to the body of the person. Because what is the point of practicing a yoga pose is to feel expansion, release the body of any stress or discomfort, to free the mind, to steady the breath. So it doesn't matter if your hand is touching the floor or if your hand is touching your knee. What it's about is what the practitioner is feeling at the moment of the pose. And wherever we are, you know, it's why I like to offer alternative in a class. And I think that even if your teacher, when you go into a yoga class and the teacher doesn't offer an alternative to the pose, find one. The best teacher you're going to meet in your life is yourself. So if everyone else in your class of when you're practicing yoga is touching the floor and said, I try it, doesn't work for me, I feel struggle, I cannot breathe, I feel miserable, then you lost it. Move your hands a little higher, take a block, use a wall, whatever, who cares, you are there for yourself. And so, and then what do I feel? Oh, I feel ease, oh, I feel release. It's a little tight, but I can manage. My breath is steady, my mind is quiet. Boom, there you are. So for me, really, it's very, very important that whoever you are and wherever in classes you are, follow your personal voice, your inner voice, because you want to be in a place of wholeness and be in the presence. So if you are trying to fit a pose because that's the way it is taught, but it doesn't fit your body, well, don't go there.
Yeah, I agree. That's really beautiful. So how long have you been a yoga teacher and what got you into yoga? Was it just part of the journey that you were on?
Well, actually, it's a long journey. It was, let's say it was about 27 years ago. I heard that there were yoga classes in my city. I was living in France at that time. And so I was curious about how yoga could help me to be more aware of what's going on in my mind. And I had a very, very negative experience because when I went into that class, it was very kind of slow and gentle yoga class. So, you know, when I was 25 years old, I mean, my mind was all over the place. It was hard for me to focus. So I struggled in the class, but I was finding that interesting. And the yoga teacher really was not happy with me at all. He said that I was not able to quiet my mind, so it was not a place for me, and that everyone else in the room was about 60 years old, so it was not my place to be there. So, and I said to him, but I would like to try again. He said, you can, but actually, I don't think that I want you in my class anymore. So I said, okay. And so, but I was disappointed, and at the same time, I was thinking that there was something to learn from yoga. And lucky for me, I moved into Germany, because when my husband found a job in Germany, and his colleague was a yoga teacher in the evening and invited me to come into the class. And I said, yeah, I would like to try because my first experience was very negative and I think yoga has some things to offer to me. The first class I took with him, even I was not speaking very well German, I was home. I was feeling, wow, that's the place I want to be. I'm using my body to move. I'm using my breath to be present. I can quiet my mind. I can learn more about myself. Wow, that's where I want to be. So, and that was about 23 years ago. And lucky for me, that teacher knew a little bit about Ayurveda and taught me at the same time some concept about Ayurveda, right? But definitely, when I started to do yoga, to practice yoga, I never stopped. I never stopped. It was part of my lifestyle. It really became part of my lifestyle. That ability to bring together body, mind, and spirit, right? So that moment of where you are mindful of the moment, you live, you experience. That is, yeah, that's how I came to yoga. But I moved in United States about 17 years ago. And 17 years ago, I said, okay, so far I did practice yoga for myself, but now I would like to teach it. And so 17 years ago, when I moved to United States, it's when I started to do all the different training that I keep taking. Because I thought that definitely such a beautiful practice of yoga, I couldn't keep it only for me. I had to share it with the world. So it's why I became a yoga teacher first and Ayurveda wellness consultant after, because it's so, it's really, I think that it's really both are together. They are intertwined.
And I think a lot of the Indian different things that have come out of Ayurvedic, like the herbalism that they have with there, it all comes out of, like you said, one specific whole piece. Even though they had many different books about many different things, it all still is one system. And that's what I really love about it, is that yoga is the movement within Ayurvedic medicine. It's the movement they use to help.
Yeah, definitely there is an aspect of movement in the practice of yoga. But, you know, there is also type of yoga. You are just sitting and meditating. It is also yoga. There is different branches of yoga. I think that it's combined that it's a way I see it. I see that yoga gives us the tools to become a better person.
Yep.
And Ayurveda give us the tools to know who we are, right?
Yep.
So I think that yoga is a methodology toward a more a spiritual and mindful life. And Ayurveda is it? Yeah, but if you want to get there, you have to take care of your own body and mind, right?
Yep.
So that's really how, you know, they are both together. Yeah.
Yep.
Because if you practice yoga, but you have absolutely no clue of how you can eat, how you can support your own constitution, then you will not feel whole, right?
No.
It's all together, right?
So yep.
Just practicing poses, breathing, meditation over and over, and not paying attention of what you are eating, or not paying attention that when it's cold outside, you need an extra jacket, then there is something that will is a little off. Yeah.
Yep. I completely agree. So what are your four top tips when it comes to yoga for anybody, beginners, intermediate, all of them?
Okay. For yoga or Ayurveda? For both?
For yoga.
For yoga. I think that one of the first tips I would say that ask yourself why you want to practice yoga, right? And any reason is a good reason, right? So, but you have to put an intention in why you want to practice yoga. So you want to go to yoga because you want to move your body. You want to go to yoga because you want bring peace in your mind. You want to do yoga because any reason is a good reason, but have an intention. And if at the beginning you practice yoga because you think it's a gentle and nice exercise, why not? You know, but put intention and practice for your well-being. You know, practice for your well-being for yourself. Don't practice because you want to have to achieve a headstand, because headstand is not really healthy for everyone. right? So being upside down is okay for certain type of people, but not everyone. So give you really the main reason for me practice yoga is well-being. So if it brings well-being, well, that's a good direction to go, right? Always practice asana related with your breath. You know, it's important that when you do any kind of asana or yoga poses, that you link with the breath, because the breath is going to tell you if you are struggling, if you are holding your breath, if you are whatever is happening. So when you have a steady breath during your pose, it means that there is harmony. If you are holding your breath, it might be because you are pushing yourself. Maybe it's because you are not mindful of the present moment, but you are thinking of something else. So really the link breath and pose. It's whatever the class you are taking, can be, you know, a flow class, it can be a gentle yoga class, wherever you are in your practice, always be mindful of the breath when you practice. Third, what would I say? I mean, it's a little silly, but so important. No competition.
I agree.
Yoga is not about, oh, she's doing the handstand, I want to do the same thing. Who cares? Yoga is not about achievement of something that is challenging, you know, that is true for people who are going to the gym or, you know, who are performing, you know. But yoga is not about competition. Yoga is about well-being for yourself. So if you feel like, ooh, she's doing this pose, I want to do this, switch it into an inspiration, right? It's not about competition. Oh, she's doing this pose. It's looking interesting. I'm going to try and see if it's bring me something positive. If yes, great. It's an inspiration. If it bring you more heat and more, I don't know, more stress, no. There is no need for that. So definitely switch the competition with, is it inspiring? If yes, why not? But if it's not inspiring, just, I want to do it, drop it. And definitely also think that practice of asana or pranayama, breathing exercise, they are all a preparation for meditation. So when you go into starting a yoga practice, one of the goals will be at some point reach meditation. It can be, it's what I call asana practice, it can be a meditation in action. Right? So when you practice yoga, remember that at some point you want to meditate to find inner peace, to find answer to your own question, to find connection with the divine, the universe, or any religion you are part of. So if for the beginning, it's hard to sit and meditate, right? So practice asana with mindfulness. So meditation in action just means that you are practicing to be. You are practicing, you know, you are aware of the breath. I have a feeling it's present and pleasant. There is no goal, who I want to touch my feet. No, there is a way to feel and be. So that would be, I don't know if it's very clear tips.
Yeah, but are.
It's the way I think that yoga is much more than a physical exercise. So even if the first goal, you know, that, oh, I want to do yoga because it's a gentle movement. Yeah, go for that first goal, but be open to discover that there is much more. Yeah.
Yeah.
I hope so.
And that's beautiful because your yoga practice evolves. And to be open, it evolves over time, and so many things happen from it.
Yeah, definitely. As you practice yoga, you say, oh yeah, I feel this way, I feel like that. And then you observe that, oh well, but when I do that practice in the evening, I sleep better. Okay, let's try that. And so it's always interaction between body, mind, spirit, and practice, and the practice supports your life. That's the idea.
Yeah, I found out through yoga that I really don't like guided meditation. That I like the Buddhist or Hindu psalms or songs and stuff like that. I like that better than guided. For some reason, that works for me. And it's like,
yeah.
And I found that out through yoga because I decided, hey, let me put on this chant and see if I do yoga to it, will it help me just be more clear? And it did. And I'm just like, okay, let me see if I can meditate to it. And I meditated to it. And I mean, at the end of it, I was crying my eyes out, like, wow. And it was like, yeah. I was holding on to something and never even realized it.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. I think that, and that you got a good point. Is that we go in a yoga class to learn, but the real practice is at home. It's at home and in the daily life. So you like to go regularly in class because you learn, but then you put in action what you learn. And guided meditation for some people is wonderful because it helps them to focus on something, but for some other people it doesn't resonate with them. And repeating a mantra or repeating or chanting, right? It's what you are talking about. Mm-hmm. That is that does a trick. And so we have to explore for ourselves. You know, I believe that there is not only one path. There is thousands of paths. Even in the yoga practice, there is thousands of paths, and what works for you might not work for the next person. So you have to find your own way, into the practice. And now we practice yoga in so different manners then we probably can find the path that is resonating with us. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So when it comes to our doshas, or the constitutions within Ayurveda, what types of yoga are good for each of them?
Okay, so there is, in dosha, there is three types of doshas that we are talking in Ayurveda, Vata, Pitta, and Kapha. So it's based on the five elements. So in Ayurveda, we consider that the world, the universe, is created by five elements of earth, water, fire, air, and space. And all those five elements, they are part of us and part of the universe. And the five elements, they combine into three dosha. So you can consider that the dosha is an energy force that we have in us. And even that each people, each individual has the three dosha in them, usually we have one that is predominant. Sometimes we have two, sometimes we have three. It's rare, but it can be, it can happen. So if we have one dosha that is predominant, so let's say Vata. Vata is air and space element. So the quality of air and space element, it's light, it's naturally cold, right? And there's a lot of movement. In Ayurveda, to balance ourselves, we want to balance our dosha. So let's say you are mostly Vata dosha, a lot of air and space element in you. You are a little restless, you jump from one activity to the other, you feel always a little cold, you know. So I would suggest that for this type of people who are Vata dosha, they go to yoga practice that is Hatha yoga based. So it means that you are holding the poses and you are holding the poses with focus on your breath, right? Another type of yoga, still Hatha yoga, but Iyengar yoga, Iyengar type of yoga, right? You take one pose after the other and you take your time for each pose. Another type of class that might be helpful to balance Vata dosha would be Yin yoga. Because Yin yoga is used a very long time in the pose, right? So so that might be something that that benefits Vata dosha, right? Of course, but if you are Vata Dosha and you are listening to this podcast, you will say, what? I love flow yoga. Because you are moving like a dancer from one pose to the other, right? But the thing is that if you are well balanced, flow yoga might be great for you. But if you have a little too much of air or space element in you, it will make you a little more restless, a little more anxious. So on that, at that moment, you want just to move away from flow yoga and go to a restorative yoga pose, or definitely Iyengar type, where you are focusing on grounding your feet on earth. Remember? So air and space are light. Earth is heavy. So to avoid to be too restless, you need to ground yourself. So you're going to a Hatha yoga class, bring your awareness toward your feet, boom, you are centering yourself, right? So that's the way I see it for Vata dosha. So let's talk about Pitta dosha. Pitta dosha, mostly there are two elements of water and fire. So usually Pitta dosha, they have a body temperature, it's hot, right? So they have a heat in them. They are really cool oriented people. What quality do we have? They are light in nature also, like a little vata. What else could I say about the attribute? That's the most important. So what can we say that if we want to balance the excess of heat and competition, natural competition that Pitta dosha has, we have to cool them down, right? So how do we cool down Pitta? Gentle yoga, restorative yoga, yin yoga. And because that will help them to move slowly, not create too much heat in their body that they naturally have, right? And it will help them to avoid competition. Pitta dosha, they have a tendency to push themselves, right? If they can do it, they push themselves until they break, right? They stop when they break, not before, right? So when they go into restorative yoga or gentle yoga, well, you take it easy, right? And it's hard for when if you want Pitta dosha, I can tell you, it's so hard to take it easy. So you might be attracted to something like what else? Bikram yoga, you know, in a hot room and movement after movement, right? Or Ashtanga yoga, when you are really performing harder and faster movement, right? Repetition. And again, if you are well balanced, I would say that in there, if you enjoy such a class like Ashtanga yoga or Bikram yoga, it might be okay. But if you want to balance yourself, stay a little away from that. Go into something more gentle. And gentle yoga is great for that. Because in gentle yoga, there is movement, there is holding, and you really take time to avoid competition. And my little advice for Pitta dosha is that when you go into a yoga practice, give 80% of what you can. And for Pitta dosha, giving only 80% of what they can is a challenge. But it's not about pushing ourselves, it's about balancing ourselves, right? Always remember that yoga helps to balance ourselves, especially if we really combine with the aspect of Ayurveda, right? So if you go into a yoga class, you are Pitta dosha, and you go out because you really sweat a lot, and you are red, and you feel not energized, but you feel just like you want to kill the world, then you are missing the point. Then you are missing the point, right? So, And for all the Pitta dosha who are listening to us today, I know it's tough, guys. I'm right there because I'm Pitta dosha too. But we can put our mind into it, right? So you are Pitta dosha, Glenna?
I oh, I think I'm, I have two. I'm a Kapha and I think I'm Pitta. I have two. Yeah.
Okay. Then
I Pitta and Kapha. Yeah.
Pitta and Kapha. So I'm going to come back to the double dosha after. But just to finish with Kapha dosha. So Kapha dosha is mostly element of water and earth element. So naturally they are cold. They have a kind of a natural heaviness and easygoing. So again, Kapha dosha might be attracted to something like gentle and restorative yoga because it's they take life easy, right? So with ease, so they look for something with ease. But actually, what they need it's a little something to boost them, right? Because water and earth element when they combine, they are thick and they are kind of not moving. And what you need to get the impulse and the energy is something of lightness and heat. Because remember, naturally Kapha dosha is cold, right? So for them, definitely it will help them to go into a flow yoga class, to go into a kind of a lot of sun salutation, right? Because that is bring movement. So it brings natural inertia, right? Of the nature of Kapha dosha. And so it will give the boost and the energy. So more pace, more movement. They might not enjoy hot yoga because hot yoga creates a lot of humidity in the room. And because they have a lot of water elements, it might not help them much, right? So I'm not really fond of hot yoga for Kapha dosha, more like a really good flow with a lot of sun salutation that would go do the trick. Even if at the beginning they are not excited to go in such a class, I mean, that will help them definitely, right? I mean, hot yoga might be okay for, hot yoga would be okay for Vata if it's a slow pace, right? Because they need to steady the mind, but there is a heat. So they might really enjoy it. But for Kapha dosha, not so much. Now, just to finish, if you have a double dosha, so let's say you are Vata and Pitta, or if you are Pitta and Kapha, right? I would say that it's a day-to-day decision, right? You wake up, you feel like, okay, well, I'm sweating today. I just want to achieve everything. Okay, well, on that day, choose something for Pitta dosha, something that kind balance yourself. But the next day you wake up and say, well, today I'm going to take it easy. I don't have energy. I don't want to hear about any, okay. Maybe on that day, let's go for a flow yoga, right? Let's go to do a couple of sun salutation. And then I finish with some long restorative yoga just to make sure that I don't boost up too much the Pitta, right? And if it's a Vata Kapha or Vata Pitta, that's the same idea. You ask yourself, how do I feel today? And it's not necessary you choose a practice that will help you. And you have to trust your inner voice, because if you are Vata dosha, you wake up in the morning and say, okay, well, today I'm just going to do my yoga poses, and I'm going to hold each breath and bring awareness to where my feet, it will work. But the day you feel, but a little movement today, then you have to add a little movement. So it's always a day-to-day decision, right? But and over time we learn to trust our inner voice, right? And so there is days you will say, okay, well, I really need to do something, but at the same time I don't feel that I can practice. Well, go for a walk. I mean, it's a yoga practice too, to go for a walk. You walk and you pay attention of your breath, and you pay attention of your feet on the ground, and you pay attention of the trees, and it's a yoga practice too, right?
Yeah, so walking meditation.
Yeah. we have to trust the inner voice. But I hope it can help, because sometimes when we don't really realize our own dosha, we don't necessarily make the good choice, right? Especially Pitta dosha, they say, oh, I'm going to do a lot of inversion and all those competitive poses, and we think that is great for us, and actually it's aggravate us, and it's not balancing us. So it's important to check on yourself, how you feel before the practice, how you feel after the practice. If you feel peaceful, energized, and quiet, then it was a good practice. If you feel tired, if you feel, you know, too much energy, or if you feel like you are stressed, there is something with the practice, right? So check on yourself before and after, and then you can adjust.
And my last question I have is, what are your top four tips when it comes to Ayurvedic medicine?
Okay. Ayurveda and Ayurvedic healing. So first, always consider yourself as whole. I mean, body, mind, spirit, right? So I would say that when you know, sometimes I hear people say, mentally I'm great, it's just that my body that is broken. I believe that the body is not broken. The body is not connecting with the mind. And the body and the mind, they try to communicate, but they don't. So the body is a manifestation that something is not quite set together, right? So always consider body, mind, and spirit. And it can be for anything, right? So you feel a little tired lately, and you say, oh, well, for the past week, I was so tired. Oh, and I had that misadventure, and that I was, then stop. What did you eat lately? How is your mind? Are you under stress? Did you take a moment for yourself and pause and just think, right? And so consider everything. So it's not like, oh, it's just a headache. I'm just going to take a pill. Why do you have a headache? Did you drink enough water? Did you get under stress at your job? And you know that these are, that it seems simple, and at the same time, it's hard questions. Because if you have a headache, let's say for 3-4 days, and you say, okay, I ate good, and I ate healthy, I was drinking water, the weather is okay, but maybe there is a question that we don't want to ask ourselves. Maybe there is something going on in your job. Maybe there is something going on with a friend. Maybe there is something going on with your family. And your body is trying to tell you, please stop and think. So my first advice when you start into, and if you're interested in Ayurveda, is really embrace this aspect of body, mind, spirit, because it's all combined, right? And that's the same thing. You can have a healthy lifestyle, a healthy mind, healthy emotion, but you are not developing much your spiritual life. And then the body is missing something. So you are okay, you are happy, everything's fine, but there's something missing in my life, and you don't really know what. And so you are still looking for something. Well, don't look anymore. You look for spiritual life. And you know, when I say spiritual life, it may be you are more involved into if you have a religion, into your religion. If you don't have a religion, it's a connecting with everything else, connecting with the trees, connecting with the peoples, connecting with the universe itself, you know. So the body, mind, spirit, that's so fundamental into the concept of Ayurveda. Especially the more and more you study Ayurveda, the more and more you understand that a lot of health issue, we created them in the mind, right? So it's so important to connect the three of them, right? And sometimes we say, okay, well, I am developing this bad backache, right? And say, well, no, it's okay. Well, but actually, it's because somehow we have a decision to take, right? And it takes years. And so I have always something in my back. And then we realize that we're putting pressure on ourselves. We don't even know why, right? But say, well, I have to do that. I have to achieve that. And then somehow the body says, hey, stop. No. Stop. Right? So, and that being said, I would say when you jump into Ayurveda, is that Ayurveda say yes to everything. So at the same time, don't be rigid, right? So it means that you are Pitta Dosha. You know that it's good for you to eat cooling food such as a mint, cucumber, cilantro, right? But and you should avoid, let's say, chili, right? Don't be rigid, because then it really creates stress in your mind. So it's going to create stress in your body. I would say that you know that you are Pitta Dosha, you know what type of food is great for you, but there is a day, there is chili, and you want to enjoy the chili. Well, eat the chili with peace in your mind, right? And then say, okay, well, I had that chili for lunch. It was great. I enjoyed it. This afternoon, I'm going to stick with, again, I have mint tea, and I'm going to cool my system, right? So the trick is that when we embrace something new, and especially Ayurveda, it's so rich in information that we have a tendency to become rigid. Oh, I'm Pitta Dosha, so I'm going to do this way. Whoa, we have to really open our mind that we are all different. And even if you are Pitta Dosha and I am Pitta Dosha, maybe you can enjoy time to time ginger when I cannot never ever have ginger because I'm burning, right? Yeah. So we have to adjust the knowledge of Ayurveda to our own body, to our own mind, right? And also I would say that see Ayurveda not as health prevention, but it is a health prevention anyway, and it can also heal people, but embrace Ayurveda with as a lifestyle, right? So it means that you learn more than ever about the dosha, but you learn also that the dosha are in nature and also. And so day to day, you practice Ayurveda. For me, it's what I say, I practice Ayurveda because every day I pay attention of myself. Every day I'm going to choose a food that is best for me. Every day I'm going to connect with the season. I'm going to take care of myself with some self-care practice that there is. So, and it's not something that I impose on myself. It's something that I add little by little in my life. So when I started Ayurveda, I was not doing everything that I am doing today. It took me years to be able to, you know, clean my eyes, clean my nose, clean my tongue, do the self massage, do my yoga practice in the morning, cook with spice, so with spices. So all that, it's a you know, time you evolve. Like you decide one day that I like to walk in the morning, so I'm trying to walk 5 minutes in the morning, and it feels good, and the next day it's 10 minutes, and you reach, yeah, maybe 20 minutes will work for you, right? And so see Ayurveda in a way to enhance your life, not something that is rigid, like it's a diet, right? Yep. Because Ayurveda is much more than diet. Ayurveda, it's about everything. Yeah. So that would be my little tips for you if you want to learn more about Ayurveda, right? So consider yourself as a body, mind, spirit. Don't be rigid, and introduce it at your own pace as a lifestyle. That's the way I see it.
And you know what? All that you said was really beautiful, and I completely connected to it. And I really want to thank you for being on the podcast today. It just really lit a fire in me to go back and explore the things I haven't really got to explore yet within Ayurvedic and yoga itself. But before we end the podcast, is there anything that mm-hmm. is on your heart you want to say before we end out?
Hmm. I would say that if you are looking for a more mindful life, yeah, a life when you are enjoying the day and you are not running on autopilot, you know, we have a tendency sometimes, okay, we wake up, we take the shower, we go to work, and we are losing connection of the present moment. I think that embracing the spirit of yoga, the spirit of Ayurveda, will help you to achieve a more mindful life. Yeah. And it's accessible to everyone, because that's something that you are doing for yourself at your own pace. So you don't, it doesn't require you to go to a specific center or blah, blah, blah. It's right there. It's for you. Yeah.
So that was a wonderful interview with Sophie, and I want to thank her for being on here today. It was really fun, even just mentioning our own doshas and stuff like that. So what are the three things I learned? One, when it comes to your doshas and yoga, you really want to try to fit that in with that so that you can use it to help balance and, in my mind, get to that place where you're at peace and you're being able to get into yoga and be out of your mind, but in a meditated state, kind of. So you want it to match your doshas, and you want it to be able to balance it and kind of push that a little bit and bring it into balance. So that is one thing I learned. You want to make sure the yoga you're doing really does help decrease and balance your doshas or dashas, whatever way you want to say it. Two, that yoga and Ayurvedic medicine are, again, I said in the intro, I'm going to say it now, are both of the same thing. They come from the same source. So again, I like that she explained that more. I really learned a little bit more about that and how those two things are interconnected and how those things can be used. And third, again, it just proves to me that yoga is a moving meditation, but it is to help you get to the point where you are sitting and doing meditation. So again, it just really pushes that boundary and of trying to get you to that point of meditation so you are still and your mind is calm, and you can have that communication with the divine, or whoever you believe in. It really gets you to that point, and it's hard to explain. I'm trying to explain it, but those are the three things I've learned. Yoga should match your doshas. Yoga and Ayurveda come from the same source, which we already know that, but how it does and how it's so interconnected is just, it's just wonderful, because you just usually hear yoga but you don't hear the Ayurvedic. So it's really cool to have her explain that more in depth. And three, yoga is a movement meditation, but it is to get you to the point to actual meditation. So that's nice that she kind of brought that in there. So if you are looking to do some classes, I know with COVID we gotta do it online, go to Sophie. Are you looking for personal sessions or looking to get into Ayurveda medicine and learn how to use it? I would go to her, especially for the yoga. Seriously. And the fourth thing I learned, I'm gonna add a fourth thing, is it does not matter about the posture. Do not force yourself. I like that she said that, because that was a problem with me, and I know that's a problem within yoga and people practicing it. Do not force yourself in that posture. Always have alternatives. And I like that my yoga teacher that I watch on YouTube, she really pushes that. And I like that Sophie does that too. That is what we need, is more teachers like that. That here's a alternative to do that. And that it's not about pushing yourself into these sometimes impossible postures. It's about where you are right now. What can you do? What feels good for you? What gets you in your out of your body and into your mind? it makes you feel good. I really like that. And that is what yoga is about. I really like that. And that's even what meditation is about. It's all personalized. I like that. So that is the fourth thing I learned. And I thank Sophie for bringing that out again. Because it's really, really invigorated me to start doing yoga again. Seriously. And like I said, the home practice, you need to have that. You can go to a studio and do that, but a home practice is important too. So, you know, I want to thank Sophie for reinvigorating me to start doing yoga because I took some time off because it was, you know, hard. And I really want to thank her. So if you're looking for a good yoga teacher, you can go to her because she knows what she's doing. And I recommend her. So I'm going to sign off here by your health is in your own hands.